Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
You ain't shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Well, fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof at the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and you know you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not lies. Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jimmy McGuinness in his life.
Good morning. The weekend has finally arrived. It is the All-Ireland football final, Mayo against Dublin, and there are so many interesting stories ahead of this game. Will Jerry McConnelly start? Just what will Mayo do with Aidan O'Shea? Is it going to be a historic three in a row for the Dubs, or will Mayo finally end those 66 years of heartbreak? It is the Off the Ball All-Ireland final preview on Facebook Live with thanks to Benetti Menswear, Ireland's leading menswear provider. Check out Benetti.ie. And over the next little while, we're going to be looking ahead to the game with four Benetti style icons. But before we get to them, we want you to get involved as well. We have a competition going all this morning, and we have a €500 voucher for Benetti Menswear to be won. All you have to do is ask the lads here a question, and the best comment that you put in below here could win that €500 prize. So on our panel, we have four Benetti style icons, all looking very well. We have former Tyrone footballer Sean Kavanagh. He is a three-time All-Ireland champion. He's a five-time All-Star, six-time Ulster champion. Good to have you with us, Sean.
Thanks very much, Nathan.
We also have a two-time All-Ireland winner with Kerry, an All-Star in his own right, David Moran.
Thanks very much.
We have a former Young Footballer of the Year, an All-Star and Ulster champion in Ryan McHugh. And we got David Brady.
Former old footballer of the year. We go like that.
You can reel off your own.
Old footballer of the year.
Former old footballer. It's great to have the lads with us. As I say, get your questions in below on the comment section. We'll get them to the lads over the next little while. Sean, former Tyrone footballer, is that settling in yet?
Slightly. I think I've been asked more in the last 2 weeks about football than ever was in the last 16 years, but yeah, it's a time to take a breath and sit back and enjoy the other side. So I've been trying to do that the last couple of weeks. It'll probably only be next June or July where it really hits home that I'll never pull on that Tyrone jersey again. But I'll get to sit beside guys like David Brady, which will...
That's your new mission in life.
It's not the dressing room you want to be in. You want to be alongside on All-Ireland final weekend.
He's going to give me a lift into town later, thankfully. So,
have you a bucket list of things that you've been waiting to do over the last 15 years that you're now free to go and... achieve?
Yeah, most of them revolve around takeaways, and I think there'll be a bit more time with the family, a bit more time with the takeaways.
What's the dream takeaway when now you're just going to let it all hang out? I'll give you a few tips on that if you want.
I was a big fan of a chicken fillet burger and curry chip pre intercounty football, so I think I might slip back into that regime and obviously take a few tips from yourself along the way.
Careful now. Is it a very different feeling, that defeat to Dublin this time around in the semi-final, when you know you're not going to be back? Were you in the dressing room afterwards, looking around, thinking, geez, I may never be in here again, having to soak it all in?
To a certain extent, but I think it was easier this year to walk away than it was. Last year was supposed to be my last year, but the circumstances around the Mayo game just left it that little bit difficult to do so. So it was easier walking from the Dublin game this year and knowing we were second best. And as a sports person, you have to accept sometimes your stage of the ladder, and I think Dublin are just a step ahead of the rest at the moment.
Was there no temptation at all when you look at the way Andy Moran has played this year, the way Kieran Donaghy has played, that maybe I could just give it one more year? Maybe I could take on a new role that maybe not as physically taxing and still have some sort of involvement?
There always is, I suppose, whenever your whole life, my whole adult life has been playing for Tyrone, so I would love to play on until 40, 45, but I think there comes a time where you realise that it's just time to pass the baton on, and I've had an amazing innings, and I suppose the last couple of weeks I've been looking back with fond memories already, and I think I'm just content with what I've done, and I'm happy to pass on to some of the younger generation to take on Tyrone football.
Would you be happy in 30 years' time if we're sitting here and we're still saying former Tyrone footballer Sean Kavanagh, that that's your identity now for the rest of your life?
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. I think it'll take a while to sink in. But yeah, I suppose having played whatever it was, 89 championship games for Tyrone, and whatever you're looking at, the amount of normally people play between 30 and 40, I've been incredibly lucky.
David, have the last few weeks been down in Kerry?
Tough. It's been rough in the cave now. There's about 30 of us inside there. look, it's obviously very disappointing, but you know, that's the way it goes. There has to be a loser.
It seemed pretty savage, the criticism this time around.
Yeah.
From within Kerry.
Yeah, we're under a lot of heat, but look, that's the way it is. I think Paddy Shea mentioned it 3 years ago, like, you know, there are people in Kerry expect a lot, and you know, look, that's fine. We know we probably didn't do ourselves justice, and that's the most disappointing thing. But look, these things happen. You know, maybe we're the better team on the day and they're in Ireland final, and, you know, we just have to suck it up.
Yeah. Do you watch back the video of the game?
I haven't yet, no. That'll be a job for maybe January.
Yeah. Ryan, a frustrating year in the end for Donegal and losing your manager as well. What have the last few weeks been like up there?
Yeah, not unlike David, they've been tough. So they have, you know, I suppose when you started at the start of the year, you've plans to go the whole way, and unfortunately this year it was a disappointing end. You know, we actually got off to a good enough start, but it was an extremely disappointing end. Didn't end the way they wanted, but that's football, you know, as there's only going to be one winner, so there is, you know, and that's the way it goes. So it's a disappointing end. We're in a rebuilding sort of stage. We've looked now for a new manager, so hopefully look to the future.
David Brady's available.
Is he? What's your CV like?
I failed the leaving cert.
We've only half an hour to get CV. You've obviously lost players again, even the last few weeks. Carl Lacey retiring. Like, it's only 3 years since you won the Young Footballer of the Year, but do you sense already that with the transition that's ongoing, you kind of have to step up into a more senior role within the group?
Well, I suppose you might. Yeah. I think Donegal have lost some phenomenal players, you know, some of the best players ever to play for Donegal. It's not going to be easy to fill the boots, you know, the likes of Sean leaving there. It's not easy to fill these players' boots, you know. It takes a couple of years, so it does. I think Donegal have to realise where we're at, and we're in a rebuilding stage, you know. Expectations are high in Donegal. We've only ever won two All-Irelands, you know, in our career. So I think we need to realise where we're at. We're at a rebuilding stage, and we need men to step up. Yeah, we do, and I suppose I'm going to have to try my best to be one of them.
Yeah. David, busy week for you. How many All-Ireland previews?
This is the most important one, without a doubt.
People were wondering how you were driving the BMW that was nearly nicked, but I think the 8 All-Ireland previews in 1 week probably answered
that. Yeah, that's the beauty of living in Dublin. People think you're half Mayo and half Dublin, not lie. Open my mouth.
Go on then. For anyone watching who didn't hear the story of David Brady's car getting nicked, tell us again.
Yeah, my car was stolen Thursday night. Simple as.
Was it?
Not particularly, no. I had a lot of valuable documents and everything else in it, and two All-Ireland tickets, and came out and was parked beside one of the
You're in Copperfield Jacks.
From 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, drinking water, because it wasn't... I could be in Copperfield Jacks the next week after Sunday night with the help of God, but yeah, I came out and the van was still there, but my car was gone. So I rang guards, drug squad, undercover detective, superintendents, put it on Twitter, you helped me out. It was a couple of hundred retweets, and within 20 minutes, I walked around the corner and there was another van and my car parked in front of it.
Was the ticket still there?
Tickets were still, everything was still there. I just didn't know where the car was. The first van I seen, I go on, actually, my car was there, it was stolen. And there was two dodgy geezers standing beside me. And I had this thing in my head that, I wonder if them two boys go stealing my car. And when I came out, I was convinced the car was gone. But that was 15 yards around the corner. So look at, as a man says, it's experience. It's just the week that's in it.
Anything can
people
happen.
People in Mayo aren't losing the run of themselves, but it's the Mayo people in Dublin that's losing the run of themselves.
Yeah. Nicky Conway on Facebook is, tell Brady his BMW is on the move again.
It wouldn't surprise me, you know.
Are you taking the tickets out this time?
I've just left the car at home. I walked in 2.5 hours it took me to walk this morning, but yeah. All is good. Yeah, I'm playing it safe.
Sean, when you do look back in your career and you had such success to start with, so you won your 3 All-Irelands in the first 6 years, when you look then back in the last 9 years, are they as enjoyable as the first 6?
I don't think it can be as enjoyable. I remember after winning in 2003, lots of people saying to me as a 19 or 20 year old young lad, this is as good as it gets. And at that time, you're thinking, look here, this is, I'm here for 15 years. I'm going to win 10 All-Irelands. Yeah. This is going to be great. Obviously, when we were in that bubble from 03 right through to 08, and it was an amazing time. And now, when you get a chance to reflect, you realise how good it was, and some of the characters and personalities that we had around the squad, the Racy McMenamins and Conor Gormley's, guys of that ilk, you just don't replace. And whilst we, at the moment in Tyrone, have a really, really good team, and we believe we can be competing at the top end, some of the fun, the personalities and whatnot we had in that period definitely was a golden generation, and I will always now reflect on that being the best period of my career.
Yeah, I do remember talking to Andy Moran 3-4 years ago at the start of the season, and the question being, how do you keep coming back year after year, coping with the disappointment? He was saying, I'm having the time of my life. I'm out 3-4 nights a week with my best mates, playing football, representing my county. That, all right, there's the huge disappointment when you lose in a final or you get knocked out of the championship, but there's so much more to the season than just that. Can you look at it like that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I know myself, a couple of bad cruciates and tore my retina, and all of a sudden I went from playing, whatever, 4 or 5 years at Kerry, and then all of a sudden you're gone for 2.5 years. And just isolation, you're just, you know, on your own, you're like, Jesus, I definitely took that for granted. Not the winning or whatever, but just that, as you said, meeting up with 30 lads your own age, 3 or 4 days a week, you know, having the crack, training hard, feel good factor from training hard, you know, to just nothing. And you're just like, you know, geez, I wish, I'd love to be back there now again, you know, and see the games. And, you know, as I remember Declan Sullivan, he was describing it as a journey, you know, that you can't just see, you know, a game and win or loss, and that's the same. It's like a journey with a load of fellas your own age and just going through, and, you know, it is special.
Strangely enough, I found sometimes losing and maybe not competing as more enjoyable. I think when you're in that bubble, you're always looking to the next challenge, and you can you sort of wonder why or how Mayo are able to keep coming back. Is because they're chasing something. It's like going after a girlfriend, you know, the chase is better than the catch.
and it's quite successful every so often.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's nice to pick up some silverware.
but even some of those years we were successful, you know, it's a strange feeling, because you come and you win All-Ireland and you go mental and you really enjoy your time, but leaving that group, you're almost wondering where, because you just live for the next challenge, just live for the next hit. So
yeah, I know from retiring 10 years ago that, and you're the same, your best friends now are on the team, and you're spending all your life together, everything you're focused on. When I retired, you kind of go, you nearly reconnect with the guys that you were best friends when you're 20, 21, that you can actually, you know, spend time with them. You're not training 5-6 times a week, and I think there's another part of life that you can, yeah, you know, Lance, it doesn't stop you from living life then, and it's not as restrictive when you are playing county football. But you boys are living in each other's pockets 5 days a week, and if they're not your friends at the start, they're definitely your friends at the end.
I wonder, is it easier for you two, because so you won All-Ireland, was it your first or second year? You won All-Ireland your second year as well, that you have success so early that there's not this burden on your back at all. You're more relaxed about your life and your footballing career, that while there is the fun of the chase, there's also, Ryan, the incredible pressure that you're putting on yourself to follow in the footsteps and to win it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I think any footballer's pinnacle is winning All-Ireland, you know. The individual awards or other awards, you know, they're great and everything, but what you want is an All-Ireland. That's what you dream of when you're growing up, and I suppose you're better off talking to these two men, I'm afraid, about winning All-Ireland. Myself and David have to...
you have a few years left to win. I have no chance at the minute.
The Masters.
Yeah, the Master over 40. But yeah, you're right. I think that, like, the way you two boys go in games, it's like you never won at all. You know, that hunger doesn't belong coming back once you have a year or two.
I think, you know, no. Again, I'm probably not the man to think, but I think when you won one, you know, you're probably just, all you want to do is win another one. That you, after you won one, you're thinking, can I become the great Kerry or the great Tyrone team that have won 3, 4, you know, whatever it is, you know, can I match these, you know, that's what...
Much wants more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if it is different, say, in Kerry, where you go, you win, it's expected, you celebrate for 2 months, and then all the talk is, can we do 2 in a row, can we do 3 in a row? And you probably got to that stage in the early years in Tyrone of consistently contending. Whereas in Mayo, I suspect these celebrations will be probably a 6-month-long affair if finally they do it.
That'd be an understatement.
Might have to pull out of the Allianz Leagues.
And I'll tell you the truth now, and this is the reality. People think in Mayo that they're going to go absolutely mad.
you know, this journey, they've gone. This is part of the journey. This is part of the build up to an Ireland. This is the great part of it. It's Fridays, the Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday nights, and I don't think they're going to realize. You know what? We're not going absolutely mental when Mayo win. They're going to enjoy it, and they're going to sit back and say, you know what? This is a great feeling. Let's soak it up. It's my only experience was a club All Ireland, and when you lose, everything is dark, and you want to, as you said, Dave, you want to lock yourself away in a cave or a small shebeen and be with the people that's close to you. But when you win, you just embrace it. It's kind of a special feeling, and you don't want your memories to be blanked out. But look at, if Mayo are doing it, there'll be a few blanks along the way. I need you to fill them in for me.
There'll be a few cars gone missing again over the next weeks, I suspect. Ryan, I'm just thinking that when you came into the Donegal panel then, and they've just won an All-Ireland, and maybe from talking to Mark and that, did you sense, was there maybe a different attitude in 2014 than had been there in those years that were building under Jim McGuinness, that maybe everyone was just slightly more relaxed, that it wasn't quite as desperate for success as they once were?
Well, I remember when I came in 2013, it was, you know, they were after one in 2012, and I'm afraid Donegal did go crazy, so they did. There was a few blank memories that time, they went crazy. And 2013, it was a tough year, you know. But I remember in 2014 saying that, yeah, we wanted to be like the Tyrones of this world, having three All-Irelands. That's what we were aiming towards, you know. These boys wanted two All-Ireland medals in their back pocket. There was no word of 2012. I wasn't there in 2012, but there was no word of that. It was just building towards the whole year. Unfortunately, we came up against a good Kerry team on the day, and they pipped us in the end, you know. It was unfortunate, but that's football, you know. There's only going to be one winner, you know. There's 32 teams contesting, and there's only going to be one winner.
Quite often over the last 10 years or so, when you'd ask Gaelic footballers who's the best Gaelic footballer in the country right now, they would say Sean Kavanagh. Those days are gone now, Sean. So when you're looking around Gaelic football, who's the best footballer in the country right now?
At the moment? I'd say you can name 15 Dublin players at the moment. There's like every year, there's always standout players, and you have to admire what Andy Moran has done this year, coming from... You know, he was getting taken off at 10 minutes to go consistently in the past number of years, and standing up and really being the leader in this Mayo team at the moment. So certainly Andy, but yeah, there's a few Dublin guys. Jack McCaffrey coming back in has had an amazing year. Con O'Callaghan's had an amazing year. You know, the names of the Dublin guys just roll off your tongue, and the way they've been able to make that transition from Brogan and Connolly and McCauley and Flynn being their leaders, and now all of a sudden we're talking about McCaffrey and O'Callaghan and guys of this ilk. It's very impressive.
Yeah, David, is there any player when you're looking at the opposition, you're going, if he is an on day, we're in serious trouble?
Yeah, I suppose if you're thinking like that, you're thinking of the forwards. Obviously from Kerry, I think Paul Ganey's gone to a really high level. I think Peter Hart and Tyrone have showed incredible consistency over the last number of years, but look, you know, I mean, you're looking at a lot of the Dublin guys. You can make a case for six or seven of them, you know, and that's the reality, and that's been the final.
Yeah, it's a bit depressing, isn't it?
I think when you look at other teams, you know, there's you're saying if Kerry are playing, if Paul Geaney doesn't play well, you have a chance of winning. Maybe, you know, I think when you look at Dublin, you can't actually pick out one unbelievable player. They're all so good. They're just an unbelievable team. You know, I think that's what's separating them from everybody else at the minute. They're just an unbelievable team.
Genuinely, that's where we struggle most, yeah. Because we know when we're playing Donegal, we put a man marker on Ryan McHugh, we put a man marker on Murphy, and, you know, we're able to cope with maybe some of the rest of the guys. With Dublin,
you don't know where to start.
You don't even know where to put a man marker to start. and you don't want to sacrifice people to man mark, because yeah, you're going to get hurt in other directions.
Seems like a lot of doubt in your mind going into a big game like that, There's so much question marks, so many question marks about what Dublin are going to do, that it's hard to focus on your own game plan.
I have to admit, going into that game, we had the utmost belief that we would win, but at the same time, we just weren't sure, because they don't play the orthodox way that most other teams play, and they have so many different variations to how they can hurt you and various formations, and whether they can, and the same, it's the same tomorrow, whether they drop in Connolly, could he go in full forward, could he come out to half forward, there's so many different variations. Will Brogan play a part? There's so many different things that Dublin can do. It makes them incredibly hard to stop.
We might turn our attention then to tomorrow's game. We want you to get involved at home as well. Just put your comments in below. We've got a competition running this morning, a €500 voucher for Benetti Menswear for the very best comment, and we'll put it to the lads over the next few minutes. It is the Off the Ball All-Ireland Final Preview on Facebook Live with thanks to Benetti Menswear, Ireland's leading menswear provider. You can check them out at benetti.ie. So, looking ahead to tomorrow, is Jim McConnelly going to start, David?
I honestly think it'd be a crazy decision for Dublin to start him. There's nobody saying that it's not going to be frenetic. The start of this game is going to be toe-to-toe. It's going to be a battle. I don't think the room is going to be there for a man that hasn't played a full game of football. I don't care what people say or man says. I know Senan Conlon is a Benetti ambassador. I think he's making up these A versus B games because they're mythical at this stage. The reality is that it's an Ireland final, and whoever he's marking is going to be man-marking him and sticking tight. If he's not getting ball in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes, Jim Gavin is going to be saying to himself, there's an opportunity for Jim or Conley to come on, and it's only in one time with 25 or 20 minutes to go when the game is in the melting pot. The game is loosened up. He's an unbelievable footballer, but any footballer doesn't play a game in 12 weeks against an opposition. I don't care what the A versus B does, but it's going to be a different context and a physicality tomorrow in Croke Park, and I think he's a trump card, but definitely I wouldn't start him either. If the likes and what they're saying is if you play well at training, the way Paul Flynn, Sean mentioned it, but the way Paul Flynn came in and scored 3 points the last day, it proved Onagaro come on, scored 1-1. The boys sitting on the bench will be really chomping at the bit tomorrow, but I can't see him starting. And I don't think there will be as much a focus. I don't think Lee Keegan would take him up if he did start.
Yeah, Conor Golden's just been on asking the question, if Connolly doesn't start, who will Lee Keegan pick up?
I think for me personally is James McCarthy. Without a doubt, he has to pick up McCarthy's athleticism, but he's also a key link in the Dublin defence. He slips back and someone else takes his man. Is he going to slip back or is he going to let someone else take Lee Keegan? I think Lee Keegan needs to give the freedom of the park tomorrow and not be restricted. We've seen the way he scored 1-3, 1-2 this year. We scored 1-1 in All-Ireland final last year before he got the black card. I think he needs to give freedom of the park and match McCarthy's athleticism.
I think Dublin might not be a case of who Lee Keegan picks up. I think Dublin will man mark Lee Keegan. I think Jim Gavin is very acute. When we played Dublin, Peter Hart obviously had a man marker on him, and you could find that they could do something similar with Keegan tomorrow. They could put McCarthy on him, or they could put one of the other guys on him and just stop Lee Keegan, because they know if Lee's on form, he's a potential match winner for Mayo.
Did you notice in the semi-final that Keegan wasn't 100%?
Didn't, no. I thought he was flying. I'm giving Paul Murphy a lot of credit. I think he could pick up Kilkenny tomorrow. I think Kilkenny's a big player for them. He drops back, which would allow Lee to drive on and maybe get involved in the play and bring Kilkenny back. That was my thoughts on it, but you know the lads might.
No, I would agree with that. I would, if it was me, yeah. The old manager, I'd put him on Kilkenny. I think Kilkenny's a huge player for Dublin. I think he's just typical Jim Gavin Fupper. You know, the amount of possession he gets on, he sets up attacks, and I think the way he plays now is typical of Dublin. When they're going 4 or 5 points up, he's the man getting the ball and keeping the ball and trying to suck the other team on, and then he's setting them up. So I would put him on Kieran Kilkenny.
Because when he gets it, when Kieran gets the ball, it's something like 63 possessions. Mm. Now, a lot of them are just links, but they're links that he's, you know, it's not on, yeah. Recycle it. The big thing we all have to do, and John, I'll ask you this question. It took 62 minutes for yourself, Tyrone, to make an actual commit a foul in the Dublin half of the pitch. For me, I think that is the crucial part of where the physicality and the press and the heat needs to be on from a Mayo perspective on the Dublin 40-45 yard line, because you can't let them build. And everyone has said it was a flawless game, it was one of the best best performances by a Dublin team against Tyrone. So there was four sets of play from the 26 minute to the 36 minute where Dublin had 105 hand passes. But they dropped the ball short, you got one block down, they had a wide and were dispossessed. That's for me is not flawless. And again, he came out then in the second half, scored the first point and had three wides. There was opportunities there for Tyrone. It was a 7-point game, so be it. It was down to six and you had three wides in a row nearly. Tyrone had their chances as well. And I think Stephen Rochford will look at that game as well and say there's opportunities for Mayo. But definitely what I thought Tyrone did
was sat back too much and didn't put the press up high. Now, you're leaving yourself vulnerable. But I think Mayo have the one-to-one players like Keith Higgins, Colin Boyle, Brendan Harrison. They're three of the best pound-for-pound defenders in the game. And you have Lee Keegan to come. So matchups, backs versus forwards, the reality, I think, is where this man has hurt Dublin before. Midfield is going to be absolutely crucial in the National League final, let's not forget. Dublin wanted to win that game, but David's performance, that you need to get a stranglehold on midfield with Brian Fenton and James McCarthy.
You mentioned those Mayo defenders, though. There's so much experience in that group. And with that in mind, then, would Stephen Rochford, would the Mayo players not be delighted if they were to look at that starting Dublin team tomorrow and see that there is no Connolly, there is no Flynn, there is no Brogan, that it's three younger guys, that there's Conor Callaghan, who has achieved some incredible things, but, you know, it's senior football final now. It's not Club Hurling at this stage for him, that suddenly there's a bit more confidence there that, all right, they're on the bench, but they're not going to be there for 60 minutes. They might only be there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, but I think that itself presents a challenge. I do agree with David. I think Mayo are going to have to go for Dublin tomorrow. We did sit back. We allowed them to play. We maybe gave them too much respect. But they controlled proceedings against us. I think Mayo are going to have to go and just bring as much intensity as they possibly can. But the problem with that is you're burning energy. And I'm not sure Mayo has the same impact subs coming off the bench, because if the game's in the melting pot on 40 minutes tomorrow, which we all hope it is, Dublin will introduce Connolly, and it'll be huge. It'll be a Peter Canavan in 03 moment where the crowd will go mad, and Dublin will get lift. And Dublin live off that energy that comes from the hill, and then 5 minutes later could introduce Brogan, and 5 minutes later McCauley, and all of a sudden, you know, you've that wave, that blue wave coming at you, and that's where Dublin might just see the game out.
For Mayo, their defence is the first form of their attack, and particularly in the second game against Kerry, it was incredible to watch the sort of rotation of who would be the furthest defender forward. It could be Harrison, it could be Boyle, it could be Keegan, it could be Higgins. Every time it seemed to be someone different. How difficult is that to plan against?
It is, because they're all very comfortable on the ball. You know, some of their athleticism is unbelievable. Like, you know, especially Keith Higgins, you see him against Roscommon coming through. It's very, very difficult to stop that, especially his momentum. And they were very good against us of bringing guys, say if we had Kieran Fofor, bringing him out to the wing for kickouts and stuff, and then you're kind of leaving him in a vulnerable. They played it very smart, as well as using, you know, their athleticism. But I agree. I think that their half back line, they're definitely going to have to be a scoring threat tomorrow. I think they're going to have to help the Andy Morans and the Keenan O'Connors and Aidan Shays and these guys. They're going to have to, and I agree with Sean, I think that irrespective of what Dublin forwards line out, they're going to have to drive on. They're going to have to just blow off the shackles and have a cut, you know. And, you know, maybe it might suit them that they don't have the big names, you know, that they have to worry about, you know, a guy who has huge accolades or whatever, that they can just drive on and play their own game. But I think irrespective of what Dublin team starts, they're going to have to drive. The half-back line is going to be huge, and the full-back line, or just the Mayo coming in waves in the back.
You mentioned the kick-outs. Push up on the Dublin kick-outs or sit back?
No, I think you have to push up. I think we were talking about players earlier, and Stephen Cluxon is huge for Dublin. You know, when I'm looking forward to the day he goes, because the rest of us might have a chance. He's phenomenal, you know. And I think if you do take him on and you do get a bit of success, as Kerry got in the league final, I think that's the way of taking on Dublin and really going at them and trying to win. Dublin will push up, as you know, they pushed up against Tyrone. Tyrone still got a lot of way, but they're sort of going to zonal, you know, three full forwards, three half forwards, and their midfielders. They're unbelievable. They're such big men. They're so hard to get out. You know, you're as a keeper, you're setting up and you're looking out and you're seeing three banks of three. You're wondering where to kick it. And Tyrone actually done well on it. You know, they actually got balls away. Morgan got it away. But it's the pressure then, I think, Dublin put on if you get the ball in the corner. The pressure Dublin put on, by the time you get to your other 45, you're worn out. You're completely racked, you know. And I think that's
what Mayo will do. Clark loves that wee chip to the corners, and they'll look to run out, or they'll look to kick the other side of midfield. And I've no doubt Dublin will Gavin will have done his homework on that, and he'll have men looking to press up high, because he'll know Mayo's running game is probably their biggest asset. So that in itself will be interesting to watch in the first 5-10 minutes tomorrow.
Do you agree that they have to push up?
I don't know. We tried to push up. I have to, and we tried damn hard, and we worked on it for a couple of weeks leading to the Dublin game. Cluxon's that fast. He's that quick at getting the ball away. Sometimes it's just impossible to do. Okay, from a set play, if you have a free kick or whatnot, yeah, you'll certainly get set up. But
His own personal ball boy behind the goal.
Exactly. I suppose he's playing on his home pitch as well. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Sort of Imelda Mason in the anthem. Yeah, the Air Corps doing a flyby.
Why is it just give it to them? And the kickouts are going to be. They're going to say who's going to win this game, really, and I think that's a vital part of it. But then again, if the ball, David Clark's kick out, if they go along, if it's not one, it doesn't mean it's David Clark's fault. Like there's the half backs need to be tighter, because in the semi final against Curry, we kicked 9, and we only won 2. And you go to yourself, there needs to be more bodies around the breaking ball. But I do think that there's such a reliance on Cluxton's kickouts. If you can get to Cluxton, and if you can put him off his game, not alone do you put him off a game, but the whole crowd senses it. And all it takes is one or two kickouts. If you can focus for a 5-minute period, whether it's a score or a wide, if you can focus and put the pressure on Dublin, and it doesn't go right. And we've seen it. We've seen it before. Like, just go back to 12 months ago. Like, we were probably in the same situation talking about how good Dublin were. They were going for 2 in a row. In the first game, there was 31 minutes gone. Dublin didn't score. And they were a point ahead. Like, they were rattled. Mayo scored 2 goals, own goals. Yeah. They had 5 points. And you go to yourself, you've got to realise that Dublin were really rattled at that stage. And Mayo have the same players. Like, the same personnel. But I do think there's a lot of guys that are playing a lot better. For me, yes, Jack McCarthy is a major, major plus, because Dublin's goal rate dropped dramatically last year when he wasn't playing. Now that he's there, he's opening up defences and he's giving opportunities to other guys.
I watched back the first game yesterday, and the first half of that match was just absolute chaos. And
chaos.
We spent so much time building up and predicting and looking at tactical battles. It just seemed to be the most chaotic 35 minutes of football. There was no great pattern. It was turnover after turnover after turnover. That suited Mayo, though. Do you think, is that what they're going to go for again tomorrow? That actually not let the game settle into any sort of real pattern? That it is just this chaotic event that nobody really knows what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I think a structured game would suit Dublin better. But I do think that. I think if it's more open space, I think the Mayo's running game, that's going to be their strength, you know, as you said, Sean. But, you know, Mayo are going to have some structure. I think even just going back to the kickouts, I don't think it has to be push up or don't push up. I mean, like, there could be an element of, we're going to push up when we have a free. Say, if Killian O'Connor is a free, everyone then has time to get up and pick their man, you know, or if there's a 45 or whatever. And then if it's quick, you don't push up. Like, I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be a case of we're either pushing up or we're not, or they might do it for a while and step back. Or, you know, I mean, there's different ways to structure a game. You know, once you're playing it on your pattern more than Dublin's pattern from a Mayo's point of view, and the opposite of Dublin, well, I think they're going to be comfortable. I do agree that a structured game will suit Dublin, and a more frantic game, I think, will suit Mayo.
So and the kickouts are going to be hugely important no matter what way the game goes. But when you are talking about pushing up or sitting back, so if you're talking about pushing up, are you talking about going right up into the cornerbacks, not letting them get the ball for Cluxton? Or is it maybe even just sitting a little bit further back, that if Cluxton has to kick 30, 40 yards out, you're contending there, but if they want to go to the corners, you're happy to let Dublin have it there and try and build from deeper?
I think Dublin's players are that comfortable on the ball. If you leave, generally most county teams will have maybe one or two, and they tend to be cornerbacks, so guys, you're maybe happy enough to have the ball. The problem with Dublin is all of them are so useful on the ball. That, you know, Johnny Cooper, you give him the possession, he's liable to hurt you as well as Jack McCaffrey is. So to me, I feel Mayo maybe should drop back and keep it tight for a while, at the very least, ensure they're still with Dublin for 10, 15 minutes, and then maybe unleash and start pushing, and at that stage then really take them on and have a go at them. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Stephen Rochford comes up with.
Like, what you're saying there is more or less saying exactly what Tyrone did.
We sat back for the whole game. Yeah.
You can't let an animal like Dublin get comfortable in the surroundings. You can't. Mm-hmm. Like, to have 63 possessions in a game for Kieran Kilkenny, every time you touch that ball, it's a little bit more confidence. You're like, they're being unopposed. And I think if Mayo at any stage would draw back fully, they're in serious trouble. Whether you can make a point if it's going to be the 20-yard line or the 40-yard line. But if they give a team that are the best ball handlers in the game, without a doubt, the ball.
The other way of looking at it is that if you go at them and Clarkson pings one to Conn O'Callaghan after 5 minutes, he turns his man, somebody overlaps coming, McCaffrey's there, ball is back in it.
Would you have confidence in...
It's a risk, it I suppose. It's just your attitude to risk. It's you want to go at them from day one and you're risking that somebody's going to bring the house down and a goal and the game could be gone after 10 minutes.
Mayo will not, you know, the way Ulster teams maybe do, sprint back to the 45 or something. Mayo will meet them at least on their own 45.
They'll have a battle line.
They're going to take them on. That's the way Mayo play football. You know, the way Ulster teams play football, it might be sprint back to the 45, meet them there. Might be the best watch, but that's the way we play it. So it is, but no,
you
Mayo.
Started
Mayo
this stuff.
and you wasn't involved that time. And you ruined the end of his career.
But no, Mayo play football. Mayo will try to take them on. Listen, Stephen Clark is a phenomenal keeper. If he is 10 kickouts, he's going to get 8 of them away. It's just, he's that good, you know, he's that good. He's going to get them away. If you can get 2 points off the two, maybe that you won. It's a bonus, you know.
This is just the reality of it. That I haven't seen anyone, and this is probably not in the laws of the game, but I haven't seen anyone when he puts the ball down the tee and takes 4 steps back, kick it up Jones's road, take a yellow card. He has to go back. You know, you have to.
Another one thrown out. He's a wee ball boy.
But man says when he takes his 4 steps back.
What are you suggesting here?
I'm saying, like, kick it off the tee and put it into Hill 16. Let him take a yellow card if there's 20 minutes, 30 minutes left in the game. You're going, well, you know what? I'll take that because that's disrupted him. You've got to put him out of his stride. Now, it's not within the laws of the game, you've got to get a care for. But at the end of the day, you know, as you say to yourself...
Mayo people are very cynical.
Jesus.
You see,
it sounds crazy. But then when he said that Aidan O'Shea was going to man-mark Kieran Donaghy, he said he was crazy then. And look what happened.
And I've met Eamon tomorrow since. And Eamon says, thanks for that. I'm going, look it, I didn't mean to let the cat out of the bag.
You just couldn't help yourself.
So, but that's you're going to want, that's one kick out sorted. Let him go back to the net and pull it out and put it on the tee again. But it gives you an extra 7 or 6, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And again, remember, you're going to get booked. So that takes another 10 seconds.
So we're going to go time wasting from half an hour left today or time wasting.
You have 21 players getting booked many seconds.
Yeah, you know what? Man says I wouldn't be happy unless every Mayo in the full forward and the three boys don't get 3 yellow cards for doing something like that.
You're big up in the GA. Get some wee boy down about Mayo to be Clarkson's ball boy and just don't throw him the ball.
But there's when he is about 25,000 behind him in his 16, I pity that poor ball boy.
He had no problem marching down towards your 16 before, so it wouldn't be again.
You wouldn't march in front of it.
Fuck no. I think someone had mentioned that we wouldn't, but with every parade this year, we just walked 3 sides and just ran back to where we went to. So that's what we did against Dublin, and people read in probably more.
Did you specifically say
went back and watched us in the Derry game in Celtic Park? We did the exact same. So.
But is that not their home end in Celtic Park as well that you didn't march around?
In Celtic Park, so man.
And was that in the Derry game?
Yeah.
Derry at home.
Yeah, no, Derry wouldn't have a hill in Celtic Park. wouldn't be that.
I was surprised that you didn't. You didn't.
I know it wasn't. It wasn't anything we thought through. It was. It's just what we did all year.
And who mentioned it that you wouldn't walk by the hill?
Probably guys like you, was it? I actually haven't seen it, but I did hear.
You're saving all this for the book or something?
That'll be an ecumenical matter.
We got a lot of messages coming in on Facebook for the four lads. Keep them coming. Get your comments in here, and we have €500 voucher for Benetti Menswear for the best comment. We'll get to some of the questions. Mike Walsh on Facebook: does David Moran think the Mayo midfield will be able to live with Dublin's mobility?
I think Parsons is very athletic. I think Mayo are going to have to play to their strengths. I think it's going to go back to patterns. I think if it's a ball on the ground and, you know, James McCarthy and Brian Fenton are getting ball, like, coming off things, I don't think anyone in the country is going to mark them. But I think if David Clark kicks it out and they can get their hands on ball, they're both very good fielders, well, then that changes the dynamic of it. I think if it's played on the Mayo pattern, then they have a chance. But I think if it's on the Dublin waves after waves after waves, I don't think it matter what midfield is there, it's going to be very difficult.
Mayo have a settled midfield now. For the last few years, they seem to be constantly trying something different, and Parsons has been in and out, but he's firmly established himself now alongside Shamie O'Shea. Have you noticed a big change in Tom Parsons over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I played with Tom, I think it was back in the 08 international rules, and he's been a really good top-class player since then. He maybe dropped out injury-wise for a few years, but I've always known he's been a really, really good player, and he's really come into his prime. And you could see he's a big leader in this Mayo team. And you mentioned the kickouts, and I think Aidan O'Shea could maybe drop in around that area. I think with the mark now introduced and Dublin looking to push up on Clark's kickouts, Clark has an incredibly long kickout. So for me, possibly stationing Aidan in around that centre forward position and going long will be a good option and a good outlet for Mayo. And we'll just mix it up, because Dublin will look and will target the running game that Mayo have. But with Aidan under the ball, I don't think there's any Dublin player, if Aidan's at the top end of his game, that will compete with Aidan in the air, and that could create plenty of opportunities for Mayo.
Can I ask a question? The three, and since the mark has been introduced, so I think it's great that, you know, you get the ball, whether it's in your chest from a short kick out or you catch it in your own halfway line, that you know that you can't be crowded out. It gives so much more freedom to the guys are clean catching and a more faster game. Is that a benefit to? Have you seen that benefit? Yeah. So you're not crowded by.
A good benefit of it is that, you know, which will probably, you know, I know it's the first year of it, is that you can't get tackled for four steps. You know, and probably people haven't got their, you know, their head around that. So if you catch it, you think it's either a free, you stop and kick it, or else it's a thing. But you can run for four steps and no one can touch you.
Yeah,
which allows you to get good ball in. I think that's a real plus of it,
and that, I think that will be tried to be exploited to a certain degree. Cluxton is fantastic.
I don't like the way that if you take a mark and you don't kick it by a certain time, it's a hot ball. Yeah. I think it should just be play on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if that's but that's only my own.
So it has to be taken.
So like if you catch it in your 5 seconds and you can't find anyone, it's a hot ball, instead of just play on.
And say it. Yeah.
Can you not take four really long steps?
Because if you pair a leg like this, you're
yeah.
It's 2 yards, 2.5 miles.
We have one from Brian Coffey. What would the lads rate as the bigger achievement? Mayo coming back to win it after getting knocked back so many times in recent years, or Dublin doing the three in a row?
I think if Mayo won it, it's going to be huge. I think Mayo, them, that group of players deserve an All-Ireland. I think they're unbelievable. They keep coming back and keep coming back. They're never beaten. I think they deserve an All-Ireland. Now, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to win it, but I do think they deserve an All-Ireland. I think nobody would begrudge them an All-Ireland, you know. I think for them to want it to be absolutely huge, and I think it'd be huge for the GAA. You know, the worrying part is if Dublin won it, you know, who's going to beat them? You know, how they're just getting stronger and stronger and stronger every year. So I think if Mayo can win it, it'd be huge for Mayo and it'd be huge for the GAA.
You know, it's from a personal point of view as a Mayo man, when you look what these boys have went through, right, you lose again, but even the way last year, like I will give you one prime example, is when David Clark was dropped for Robert Henley. And this is a fact, that Robert Henley has pushed David Clark. Like, David Clark has just walked away and said, you know what, I'm a new child, new house, I'm a guard, I'm working shifts, I'm 34 years of age. They've actually pushed, Henley has pushed David Clark so much this year. And it's shown in his shot stopping. Like, that was an awful blow to lose the replay then again. And all that happened during the game. It's the tenacity and resilience of these players is phenomenal. And it's like everything in life. You get knocked down, you have to get up. You have to get on with it, whether it's in work, in life, or in sport. And I think if it doesn't happen tomorrow, these boys won't give up. They won't stop trying. And again, you're saying, who's going to be there? Well, it's going to be one of the Manses. The three ye are two from Dublin or Mayo next year. There's no one chasing. The top five is there. Maybe Fermanagh now, but
maybe
that's going to be some fun.
Oh, that'll definitely be an Ulster preliminary round.
Donegal's definitely drawing Fermanagh first round. Yeah. Get here to here first.
It's 3 years now since the 2014 semi-final, and I remember leaving Limerick that day. The definite sense was, that's it for this Mayo team. That, right, they've reached the pinnacle. They've got to All-Ireland finals, but that the players are all entering their 30s, the sort of main guys, Andy Moore and Keith Higgins, players like that. Yet they've still managed to get there every year since then and keep up that level of performance. Are they better now than they were 2012, 2013, 2014?
I'd say maybe slightly. I think Andy Moore's form this year has made a huge difference to Mayo. Just in terms of marking them, you now have more in your hands, as opposed to concentrating a few guys. But I just think that this is a very, very good Mayo team.
you know, to say that this Mayo team winning in Ireland is a bigger achievement than Dublin winning 3 in a row, I think that's kind of, you're undermining the Mayo team there, but I did have fantastic players. And you have to come back every year. And don't tell me if Mayo win Ireland this year that they won't come back again next year, or if they lose Ireland, they won't come back again next year. You know, and I just think that to say that this Mayo team winning in Ireland is a bigger achievement than Dublin winning 3 in a row, you know, I just think they're not getting enough credit. I think they're a fantastic team, you know, and, you know, they might get overlined, they might get overlined, you know, but they are good enough to come back. They're the top, you know, teams.
You all have to come back.
Yeah, you know. And I just think, you know, people are saying, Mayo, come back, come fair play to Liberty. You have to come back. You know, win, lose, or draw, you have to come back. You know, otherwise you walk away.
Yeah. Sean, you've been highly complimentary of Dublin, and 3 in a row would be a pretty remarkable achievement for this group. And the way Ryan's talking, if it gets to 3 in a row, very quickly people are going to be talking about 5 in a row. That's how good this team are.
I genuinely believe it is a little bit scary. I believe that Dublin are a fair bit ahead of the chasing pack, and I do believe tomorrow might prove that yet again. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to see, everyone wants to see a competitive football final. I think you're talking to this Mayo team, they have been amazing at staying together, but it has been that same core of 7, 8, 9 players. That's the way Dublin have been able to rotate, and that's what scares me, that and you can see with their minors and 21s, they're unearthing new players every year, and you hear about some of the club players they have coming through. They are a real machine at the moment. I think they may dominate for years to come. I think we're looking at a great football team that we'll maybe talk about in 15 or 20 years' time.
Yeah, being from Donegal, you can go into a championship and be confident of getting to Ulster finals and winning Ulster titles and contending at All-Ireland level. And even I get the sense that you're looking at Dublin going, bloody hell, how can we get near these guys? Imagine what it's like for players from Laois or from Carlow or the lesser counties thinking, how do we even get anywhere near these guys over the next 4 or 5 years? And why would we bother if we're not going to get anywhere near them?
Yeah, it's tough. And we've been watching Dublin dominate Leinster for so long now. And I suppose the day you nipped them in the semi-final was Gavin's only real, you know, glitch in his copybook. But it is becoming, I think they have become such a strong unit. They're stronger defensively, I think, than what they were that day. They maybe learned an awful lot, being hitting the counter-attack that day. And the game against us, at times they're dropping 10, 15 men back into defence, and they're being physically tough in the back. I believe they've evolved into a really, really
I think what they're doing now is when they're actually getting ahead of teams, they're just keeping the ball, and they're so good. They're so good at keeping the ball, they're sucking them out, and then if you're 1v1 in them, I'm afraid you're in bother.
Yeah. Am I crazy to think that we're not that far away from a Dublin split, a North Dublin, South Dublin? Like, from the GAA point of view, you're going to fill Croke Park
will you
every
staff
day of the week.
The man says, you're definitely opening up an accountancy firm in Dublin. And you're going to get a lot of business.
I suppose I feel obliged to mention Sean Kavanagh and Co.
Without a doubt. Your man says, you're going to be in Dublin full time. Because you're singing the praise like, look at it, and people say, look, he's from Mayo and he's saying it again, but when have Dublin really, really exploded in our final? Did they do it last year? Did they do it the year before?
But they still controlled,
even though
they didn't play well in last year's final in the first game.
They didn't play particularly well the year before
either.
They didn't,
but at any point, did they really look like losing? And has any team ever been able to get 3, 4, 5 points since that day in the semi-final against you? So I think that's an incredible way to be, that no team seems to be able to get ahead of them. And because it was great, I suppose, when we played them, we felt if we can get 3, 4 points on them, you know, we might put them in a difficult position, but no team can do that.
And
you had that
opportunity at the start in the first 10 minutes as well, didn't you?
And that's what I would love to see. That I suppose tomorrow, I'd love to see Mayo get a few early scores and put them in a difficult position. Yeah. I think that's obviously Mayo's best chance.
Early goal killed Tyrone. Early goal killed Monaghan, Kildare. The first 10 minutes, and that's crucial.
The only thing I'll say about Mayo, I think Mayo are the one team in the country that can physically match Dublin. I think they have the power to match them. I think it is going to be tight, you know. If you even take last year, there was a kick of a ball in at a replay. The year before that, a kick of a ball in at a replay. You know, Mayo, I think, are fit to match Dublin. I think they have the markers to match their forwards, but I do think Dublin are a wee bit better now. I think that's just, and the bench coming off is just.
That's without a doubt, it's loaded.
Niall Reynolds says, he said that Mayo deserve an All-Ireland. They don't. When they win it, they'll deserve it. Until then, nobody owes them anything.
You earn it, yeah. You do earn it, and whoever, if they do it tomorrow, by James, that's earning in my book.
Adrian Hall asked David Brady if there were three former Mayo players in their prime that he could start on Sunday, who would they be and why?
You're not allowed to say yourself.
I'll be number one.
Well, obviously, Kieran MacDonald is the first on the list. I definitely have Kieran MacDonald of the past. Who else? You know, it's with this Mayo team. You know, I wouldn't be taking many out, and that's the God's honest truth. Because
if you're doing the Mayo team of the century, half of these lads will be on it now,
without a doubt, and deservedly so for the way they've played. And I do think there's a big game, and the likes of Jason Daugherty, like Mayo got to the All Ireland final last year. He was Mayo's top scorer from playing the championship. And you're going, Jason Daugherty, but this year he has come on even further. He's playing extremely, extremely well. And I think the benefit too is that Killian has missed 75% of his 45s because he's a groin injury 4 years ago and he hasn't that power in his leg. He came on against, Jason took over the free-taking duties and popped over a 45 and it's still 10 yards to go. So I think that's a big advantage. But I'm in awe of this Mayo team, and I don't think there's many of the past players that would be able to compete with them now.
I'm going to ask you to call it. I have a feeling I know what either end is going to say, so we might start in the middle, David.
A draw, replay Limerick.
hey.
I think Dublin slightly.
Yeah, I think Dublin's going to win about 3 or 4 points. I think it's going to be tight, but I think Dublin's bench will just get them over the line.
Sean
Kaplan Co says Dublin by 7.
I'll say Dublin by 7. Not a chance. Mayo by 1.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 6 points. Mayo will be 6 points ahead with 10 minutes to go and the Cavalry will be coming on and they'll fall over the line by a point. Trust me. Replay this on Monday.
Thanks a lot, lads. We have been getting a huge amount of comments in and questions for the lads. We appreciate them all. The best comment, though, from our Facebook Live and the winner of a €500 voucher for Benetti Menswear, Ireland's leading menswear provider, is Martin Hines, who rather fittingly commented, "If it's a draw, what will Nathan Murphy do? Because he doesn't believe in ties." I'm open to offers, though.
That's good.
Great stuff. It's been brilliant having the lads. Enjoy the game, and hopefully we get the right result, the David Brady result. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Off the Ball Facebook Live All-Ireland preview. We're back on the radio at 1 o'clock. If you want to subscribe, just click the button down there, and you'll get us the next time we're on Facebook Live. My thanks to Benetti Menswear for having us today. Check out benetti.ie. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
Off the Ball on News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.